Our reading for Monday, April 27th, begins in Acts chapter 4, verse 32. Acts chapter 4, verse 32. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. But a man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property, and with his wife's knowledge he kept back for himself some of the proceeds, and brought only a part of it, and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit, and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. When Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last, and great fear came upon all who heard it. The young men rose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. After an interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter said to her, Tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, Yes, for so much. But Peter said to her, How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. When the young men came in, they found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard of these things. Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared join them, but the people held them in high esteem. And more than ever believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. But the high priest rose up, and all who were with him, that is, the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy, they arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. When they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. Now when the high priest came, and those who were with him, they called together the council and all the senate of the people of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came, they did not find them in the prison, so they returned and reported, We have found the prison securely locked and the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside. Now when the captain of the guard and the chief priests heard these words, they were greatly perplexed about them, wondering what this would come to. And someone came and told them, Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then the captain with the officers went and brought them, but not by force, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest questioned them, saying, We strictly charged you not to teach in this name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. But Peter and the apostles answered, We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are all witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. And when they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. And he said to them, Men of Israel, take care what you are about to do with these men. For before these days, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God. So they took his advice, and when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. So here in chapter 5, or actually chapter 4, starting in verse 32, where we began our reading, we have two major events going on. And I believe one leads over to the other. First of all, we have an explanation of what it means for them to have all things in common. Says they were of one heart, one soul. No one thought any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And the testimony of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus was being given. Grace was upon them. And they were selling their property in order to lay it at the apostles' feet to take care of those who were in need. And then introduces us to Barnabas, that he likewise sold a field and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Barnabas, as we have a parenthetical statement there, meaning son of encouragement. And Barnabas begins to appear throughout the book of Acts as a very important figure within the church in the first century. So before we jump into Ananias and Sapphira, just realize that the situation that was going on was created because many had traveled to Jerusalem for the Passover, had been obedient to the gospel, and so they had not gone home. They are there to learn from the apostles. And if you're truly motivated to serve God and then you want to learn more, you wouldn't want to go home either. But you only bring provisions for however long you expected to be there. I mean, it's you and I pack for a trip, and we decide, hey, I'm going to be gone for 7 days, and so I will pack maybe a little bit extra. I'll pack 8 or 9 changes of clothes so that I've got a little bit extra. But we don't pack a whole lot extra. When we budget for a vacation, we decide, well, you know, this is how much I'm budgeting per day for, you know, fuel and other expenses and food. And we take those funds with us, or we set them aside so that we've got them, and then we have a little bit more for emergencies. But we wouldn't be able to go on vacation for a week and end up staying somewhere for 3 months. It wouldn't work out that way. We would need to come home and take care of things and get back to our normal routine that allows us to make a living and get by. So that's where they are, and that's why that they are caring for each other in such a way. They have established this bond that they don't want anybody among them to go in need. And that's exactly what Jesus taught his disciples, that a mark of a disciple was to be the love that they had. And then people would know they would be disciples of Jesus. So then chapter 5 takes us into Ananias and Sapphira. They likewise sell a piece of property, but they decide to lie. They decide to keep part of the proceeds, which was not a problem. It was their choice to sell the property. It was their choice how much of that sale was going to be laid at the apostles' feet. I think what goes on with Ananias and Sapphira is they wanted recognition for going above and beyond and giving the whole proceeds, but they didn't really want to give all of the proceeds. They wanted to keep some of it back. And Peter asks these questions, you know, why have you decided to lie? And it wasn't that it was, you know, a problem to keep back part of it. He says, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? In other words, it was under your authority. You made the decision to do this. It is the lying that was the problem. And he says, you have not lied to men, but to God. He dies. His wife comes in about 3 hours later. She doesn't know what has transpired. Peter asks her likewise, "Is this what you sold the land for?" And she says, "Yes." Again, it's not the price of the land that is the issue. It is the lying. And so Peter says, "How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord?" She dies as well. Great fear comes upon the whole church. People have, I think, misunderstood verse 11 here in the past to think that, you know, this fear that they had was, you know, what's going to happen to me? No, I don't think that's the case. I think everybody learned a lesson. Don't lie. Lying is a sin. But I think that the fear is respect. Respect for righteousness. Respect for what is moral and right in the eyes of God, and to not break those laws of morality. So that point, that message got across. And there were many other signs and wonders that were regularly done among the people. They were all together. Some of them didn't dare join them. It says none of the rest dared join them. But it says the people held them in high esteem. What could the people hold against them? That they loved each other, that they shared with each other, that they took care of each other, that they healed people? I mean, what could they hold against them? And so, it says, more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. And then all this healing is going on. And so this, again, catches the attention of the high priest and the ruling class or the rulers of the Jews. They're filled with jealousy. They arrest them. They put them in prison. The Lord releases them miraculously. Based on the description by the guards that were sent to retrieve them, we know that not only was the doors open miraculously, but they were able to leave the prison without anybody noticing, anybody seeing. The doors are shut back up, and nobody ever notices anything until they come to retrieve them the next day. Verse 23, we found the prison securely locked and the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside. And so they're confused, they're perplexed, wondering about this. And then someone says, "Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple teaching the people." So they go and collect them again. They're, again, verse 28, we strictly charged you not to teach in this name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching. It's not their teaching, it's Jesus' teaching. Verse 29, Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men." Same answer they gave before, just stated slightly differently. And again, they make this accusation. "Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree, God exalted, made leader and savior, granted repentance to Israel, the forgiveness of sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. Here's Gamaliel gets up. Gamaliel is a very respected teacher, held in honor by all the people, and he tries to interject some level of reason. His conclusion is what I want to focus on. His conclusion is, verse 38, "Keep away from these men and let them alone, for if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail." And when they... But is if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be opposing God. They took his advice. The one thing I struggle with in this is how can they continue to see all of these miraculous things happen and they still wonder about whether they're sent by God? They still question at all about whether they are opposing God. Now, Gamaliel's advice is good advice, but how can they still deny this? And what do? They don't just release them. No, they beat them first and then charge them not to speak in the name of Jesus. And what's the apostles' response to being beaten? Well, they rejoice that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And they continue every single day in the temple and from house to house, They did not cease to teach and preach Jesus as the Christ. We need to do the same thing. We need to have the same kind of courage and faith that it takes, that in the face of any opposition, we will never cease to preach and to teach the name of Jesus and glorify His name through the way that we live our lives, the way that we speak, the way that we conduct ourselves, and the way that we teach others. I would ask you that as we continue with these daily readings, that your prayers do not falter, that you be encouraged to continue in prayer for your brethren and for the world over, that God may be with us all.